quite all right. Well, before we study, we'd like to pray. Would you join with me? Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with your commandments and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. This weekend, this Shabbat is called Shabbat HaGadol. Can you say that with me? Shabbat HaGadol, the great Shabbat before Passover. And on this weekend, the Haftorah readings help us focus on breakthroughs that come from turning to God. Turning to God, there's a Hebrew word, teshuvah. Can you say that? Teshuvah. It means to turn around and to turn towards God. It speaks of a change of direction and where we're headed and putting God into focus, putting him up front, right in the center and moving straight ahead towards him. It describes repentance. Repentance is not just feeling sorry or feeling bad or crying tears of sorrow. Repentance is a change of direction where we stop going in directions that take us away from God and we turn our attention to him, we focus on him, and we move in his direction. Well, the breakthroughs that are described in this weekend's prophetic readings, the Haftorah portions, are all connected to how God pours out blessings on us and how he protects us from anything that would rob us of his blessings. This week, Sandy and I have been praying for you that you would receive all of God's blessings and that you would be protected from anything that does rob you of God's blessings. Now, here are some of the blessings that are described in the Haftorah readings that the Lord wants you to have, and they include finances. If you're in favor of that, you can say, well, I'm glad, Lord, you want my finances to prosper. He wants to bless you, not just in your finances, he wants to bless you with surplus. Anybody prefer surplus to deficits? He wants you to be able to save and have extra, to have places to put the extra because you've got so much extra. And he wants to give to you a kind of spiritual insurance that protects you from loss. As well, he wants to give you another kind of insurance. It's a spiritual protection that protects you from wasted effort and from work that doesn't bear fruit. Have you ever put your heart into something and in the end it brought nothing, no gain to you? That's so disappointing. The Lord wants to deliver us from that. That devours our strength. And he also wants to bless our families, especially the relationships between parents and children. Now, last week, we were talking about how praying out loud helps us break through in many areas, and praying out loud helps us experience God's forgiveness, because if we confess our sins, he is what? He's faithful, and he's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Confessing our sins is not just thinking about our sins, it's admitting them in words out loud to him. And we also talked about how praying out loud helps you resist and defeat the accuser. It's important to speak the word of God and to take your position with Yeshua as a way of defending yourself against the accuser. Well, this is just a few days before Passover. Some people will be listening to this by podcast on Passover week. And we're celebrating freedom at Passover. We're celebrating the past freedom, but also the current freedom. God wants to give you more freedom. He wants you to be able to enter freely into all the things that he has in mind for you. He wants you to be free from shame. He wants you to be free to receive God's blessings. And so, we want to stay focused on this. We're going to look at Haftorah portion from last week in order to build where we're going. And so you can turn to Isaiah chapter 44. And we'll take a few minutes with this passage. It starts, "Yet listen now, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen." Now that key word is chosen. It means selected. It also means elected. In the Brit Hadashah, you'll often read about those who are elect. It means the same thing, those who are chosen, those who have been selected by God. The chosen people are the people who God chooses. Now, he wants you. He wants all of us. God sent his son to save the whole world, not just a few people, but he loves the whole world and he wants to bring salvation. So here it's speaking specifically about those who serve God, the Jewish people, Israel, whom I've chosen. And it goes on in verse 2. Thus says the Lord who made you, who formed you from the womb, who will help you. Now, I want you to speak some of this to each other. I want you to smile at someone nearby you and tell them, God will help you. God will help you. God will help you. God will help. Yeah, there may not be someone in your chair. You may have to reach back behind you. There may be, you may be sitting all by your lonesome self on your row, but you can find someone to smile at. God will help you. God will help you. And he says this, fear not, don't be afraid, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Yeshurun, whom I have chosen. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Why? Because I will help you. That's what the Lord says. Don't be afraid because I made you, I know you, I love you, I chose you, and I will help you. Many times people get into trouble and they then think God won't help them because they're in trouble. Well, that's when you need the most help. And you know when you really need salvation by grace? You need it when you get yourself in trouble. It's one thing when other people get you in trouble, but when you get yourself in trouble, that's when you know, I need help I don't deserve. But many people, unfortunately, when we get ourselves in trouble, we think it's my fault, and therefore I'm on my own. Well, this passage is written to everyone who is at fault. Now, try this. Tell the person sitting next to you, I'm at fault. I'm at fault. I'm at fault. But God will help me. God will help me. God will help me. Let's say it like this. Even though we're a mess, God will help us. Even though we keep making problems and having problems, God says, I will help you. You think you can't fix your problems, and then you say, so my problems can't be fixed, but God says, you can't fix your problems, you need me. You were not only dependent when you were born, you're dependent now. You have problems in life you cannot fix. Who can agree with that? Who knows? You got stuff you can't handle. Who's tried to do their best and it still didn't work? Who's found that even when you do your best, sometimes things stay the same? But even so, God comes and he breaks through on your behalf. What you couldn't do, he does for you. It's described like this in verse 3. I will pour water on him who is thirsty. You see, the one who's thirsty can't satisfy his thirst. God says, I'll pour water on you. And floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. But here's the key, everyone. We have to be thirsty for God. God wants us to hunger and thirst for righteousness, for him. I'll pour my spirit, he says, on you and your children and your grandchildren. I'll pour out my blessing on your family. When you're wondering what God's position is about your family, you go to this passage and you say, Lord, I know what your position is. You want to bless my offspring. You want to bless my family. You want my life to be aligned with your blessings. You want my children to be blessed. You want my grandchildren to be blessed. Don't wonder what God's position is. That is his position. Now, sometimes we don't experience blessings, and that's what this week's Haftorah portions are about. How do you get breakthroughs when you haven't been experiencing God's blessings? And the key to that kind of breakthrough is turning to God, not trying to do something else. Well, in verse 4, it says, they'll spring up among the grass like willows by the watercourses, and one will say, I am the Lord's. Don't you want your children to say, I belong to God? Yeah. Another will call himself by the name of Jacob. Another will write with his hand, the Lord's, and name himself by the name of Israel. You see, this is a great picture of God's love for all the different generations. Salvation is not just for an individual. God's salvation is meant to touch our families and our generations after us, our grandchildren, and even beyond that. And he wants to touch nations this way. He called Israel as a nation, but he started what? With one faithful man. And he joined him with a woman who was faithful. One faithful man, one faithful woman. And they made a family, how? By faith. They couldn't make a family any other way. They made a family by faith. And that's how Israel was formed. So you and I need to learn to pray for our children and our grandchildren. And we pray with confidence. We say, Lord, I know you have plans and purposes for my children and for their children. Pour out faith upon them. Fill their hearts. Fill their minds. Open up their hearts and their minds so that they would receive power from on high. They would love you with everything that they've got. Don't be uncertain about what God wants from your kids. It's the same thing he wants from you. He wants you to walk in faith and faithfulness. He wants your kids and your grandkids. Well, what if your kids are old? Same thing. What if your grandchildren are adults? Same thing. He wants that all of us would be safe, rescued, delivered from the power of sin and death, and walking in faith with him. And so we need to take a position. We need to be aggressive. We need to be confident and certain. That means we can't just pray about problems that everyone has. Sometimes we have to rise above the problems and we have to say, God, I know these problems exist, but I'm going to ask you to bring my children, my grandchildren, my brother, my sister, my mother, my father, to bring them out of their troubles and into a life of blessing as they come closer to you. And you pray that God will give your families courage, because it takes courage to choose God. It takes courage to choose righteousness. It takes courage to live for God. It doesn't just take faith, it takes courage these days. And it takes courage to tell other people about God's goodness and his faithfulness. Well, this weekend's special Haftorah, we're going to move to that. It's in Malachi chapter 3. The Christian versions and the Jewish versions of Malachi don't line up quite in the way that they're organized by chapter and verse, but we'll do our best. Malachi chapter 3, we'll start in verse 7. Now, you might look at your passage here. You may notice it reads a little differently. I've tried to give a fresh translation to this so that it'll get your attention. But it doesn't hurt to look at what your own Bible says. It begins with God saying, return to me, and I will return to you. So let's say that together. Return to me, and I will turn to you. Return to you, says the Lord of hosts. You see, this is the deal that God's starting with. You return to me, I'll come back to you. You've been wondering where I am? I've been looking for you. I'm waiting for you. Return to me. Return to me. Repent. But you said, in what way shall we return? You've said, how? How do we return? And verse 8 is tough. You read what it says in your Bible. I'll give you my translation. The Lord says, you've taken what belongs to me. And you say, what have we taken that belongs to you? And look at what the Lord says, the tithes and the offerings. You took this. It was mine, and you took it. And then I'm going to put a fresh translation on this because I want to hear it clearly. Verse 9, you've been robbed of a blessing. You've been robbed of a blessing, and you suffer greatly. That's what it means when it talks about having a curse on you. It means God wanted to bless you, and it's been taken from you. You've been robbed of a blessing. You see, we took what was not ours, and we had taken from us what should have been ours. Do you get the idea? You've been robbed. You've been robbed of a blessing. And verse 10 says, so bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, and you will see that I will open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. So he says, here's how to fix it. Bring the whole tithe. In Hebrew, that means 10%. Bring the whole 10%. Not 6, not 4, not 3, not 2, not 1. However, I encourage people, if you haven't been tithing and you want to, start. Start. And there are two ways to start. Start with 10%. If you can't do that, start with 1%. On week 1, on week 2, go to 2%. On week 3, go to 3%. And take 10 weeks. On the 10th week, you're at 10%. And you've recovered, and you can say from that point, Lord, I'm up to 10%. I'm going to walk in this. I'm going to trust you. Now, the key to this is understanding this is part of the relationship. God saying, trust me. Now, why is it when we're in financial need do we not give? It's because we're not trusting, right? We think, I got to use it this way because if I use it the other way, I won't have enough. Maybe I don't even have enough now. That's why I'm thinking this way. And God says, I got a remedy for this. Trust me. Trust me in this. Trust me. Here's the plan. I want you to be blessed. I want to pour out more blessing than you currently have. Who's in favor of having a surplus instead of a deficit? Okay. So we're all in agreement, right? Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, God's house, the house of God, house of worship, the synagogue. And God says, I'll bless you with a blessing that is so great, you don't have enough room to receive it. Now, at this moment, some people are defeated because they say, this won't work. And that's where we have to take our fear and our doubt and our troubles to God, and we have to bring them and lay them before him and say, Lord, I struggle with this. I need help. Build up faith in me. Encourage me. And then verse 11. We have not read this verse during this time period, but it's so important that we pay attention to this. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. You see, the Lord says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. This is part of the blessing that's associated with giving the whole tithe. The devourer. What does the devourer do? He destroys your good stuff. Sometimes when people are in financial straits and difficulty, it's because our good stuff has been destroyed. We had perfectly good tires and they got destroyed. Our car was fine, someone hit it. Who knows? There are so many ways that destruction can come to us. And it says, not only is your good stuff destroyed, and God wants to protect us from that, but there's a destruction of the fruit that you thought you would gain from your work and your effort. That's what that passage about the fruit of your ground and the vine failing to bear fruit for you in the field. Imagine that you have a vineyard and you're growing grapes and it is covered with blossoms, and the grapefruit, that's for Florida, but the fruit of the grapes has set, and you can see that they've set, and before you get a chance to harvest them, something happens and you get nothing. You get absolutely nothing. That's the picture, but that's to give us a principle. The principle is the people who had that experience, they worked so hard, and what did they get for all of their effort? They got nothing. They had fruit, but the fruit was taken from them. And God says, I want to protect you. I want to protect you. Okay, so whoever you've been smiling at, just tell them this. God wants to protect you. God wants to protect you. He wants to protect you. He wants to protect your stuff. He wants to protect you. He wants to protect your work, your fruitfulness, the effort that you put in. And then verse 12 takes it another step higher. It says, all nations will call you blessed, because you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. All nations will call you blessed. You see, what the Lord is saying is the giving of the whole tithe releases a blessing that comes upon you, and it changes the way your personal economy works. Who's in favor of a personal economic breakthrough? You need your economy to work differently. It changes the size of your surplus. It changes how your efforts are productive. It helps you overcome wasted effort and unproductive work. Have you ever put a lot of work into something? You poured your life into it, but it didn't materialize in the end. God says, I want to protect you from that. It protects your fruitfulness. And then, as verse 12 says, your blessing becomes visible to other people. Now, here's something to keep in mind. God wants it to be visible to others that his people are blessed. Now, he doesn't want us to be blessed because we're crass materialists or because we're greedy. Just because a person is rich does not mean they're blessed. Do you understand that? And some people who are very poor are immensely blessed. So wealth is not the direct measure of being blessed. But in life, when you have resources that you need, it's a blessing. That's true. And when you have what you need in advance of when you need it, that's also a blessing, isn't it? Don't you like it when you can pay all the bills all the time early? Not late. That's a blessing. And God is saying, I want my people to live in such a way that other people can see they're blessed. He wants you to live that way. Now, Malachi continues. It goes into chapter 4 in the Hebrew, and verse 2 points to Messiah. It says, to you who fear my name, the Son, S-U-N, of righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. That's a reference to Messiah. And then it goes on and it speaks about Elijah, who is also connected with the coming of Messiah, and how he restores us so that curses don't have an impact on us. We're blessed instead. Verse 5, behold, I'll send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and the dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Now, the Hebrew is inclusive, so we have to read that a little broadly. The hearts of the mothers and the fathers, the hearts of the parents to their children, to their sons and their daughters, and the hearts of the children to their moms and dads, so that I don't come and strike the earth with a curse. You see, the Lord wants to protect us. And that's why it makes really clear that turning to Messiah is a key to the protection. Repentance, turning away from sin and turning to God. Receiving forgiveness. How? By confessing our sin, asking for forgiveness, and trusting that Yeshua gave his life as a sacrifice for your sins. Faithfulness with Messiah, trusting God, living in obedience to him. These are first steps for everyone, whether you're young or old, whether you're great or you're small, whether you seem to be powerful or insignificant, whether you're a man or a woman, a child or a grandparent, whether you're Jewish or not, God has one plan, and that is to turn to him by turning to Messiah. Repenting, receiving forgiveness, walking in a life of faith. And praying out loud is a powerful part of that turning to God. It's so important to turn to him and to connect with him and to make what he is doing in your life visible and audible. That's why when we confess Yeshua out loud, it has a spiritual power. It's so important to pay attention to this, to say out loud, Yeshua, I trust you. Yeshua, I believe in you. Yeshua, I want to follow you. I need help, but I'm coming to you for all of that help. We pray out loud so that we can hear, so that we can know. Let me close with some passages that we'll read tomorrow morning. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 23. Just bringing out this one line. This is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. This is a prophetic challenge to the Jewish people. It says, before we even think about sacrifices, before we even think about the temple system, we have to think about a relationship of faith and faithfulness with God that starts with listening to God and obeying Him and allowing Him to actually be God so that we can be His people. And then organizing our life, walking in His ways. And then this is how it connects with the breakthroughs of turning to the Lord and returning to Him, so that it may be well with you. Who's in favor of being well with you? I sure am. Okay, you've been smiling at someone recently. Find someone else to smile at and tell them, God wants it to be well with you. God wants it to be well with you. God wants it to be well with you. That's His plan, that it would be well with you. When you're praying and you're wondering and you're struggling and you're waiting and you're trying to get a breakthrough, you need to know what God's position is. He wants it to be well with you. When you meet people who are in trouble, He wants it to be well with them. Now, He's not sloppy in His agape, as some people have said. He pours out His love in a very special way, the way that helps you. He will show you such love that it will cause you to draw close to Him. His love is designed to bring you close, not just to fix your problems. And if He has to postpone fixing your problems so that you'll come close, He'll do it. Some people will only pray when they're in trouble. Guess what? God loves to hear your prayers. More trouble. Some people will only cry out to God when they have big, big problems. Guess what? You'll have more big, big problems. So if you want to live in a constant state of tension, only seek God when you're in trouble. Because He loves you so much, if that's what it takes for the relationship, so be it. That's not His plan. He has a better plan than that. So if you want to know what plan A is, I mean, that plan that I was just describing, that's like plan Z for life. It's not even plan B. That is so far down, you don't even want to have to go there. Let's keep going to Hebrews chapter 8 from HaBrit HaChadasha, looking at verses 10 through 12, which are simply recounting Jeremiah chapter 31. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my Torah in their mind. I will write my Torah on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 11, none of them will have to teach his neighbor and none his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me. All shall have a personal, intimate relationship with me. For all shall know me from the least of them to the greatest of them. Then verse 12, so powerful. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Merciful to their unrighteousness. You know what that means? God will pour out mercy even when you failed Him, even when you've fallen short. He will pour out His mercy. It's not that you get His mercy because you're so good. You get His mercy because He's so good. But He's looking for you to come to Him. He doesn't want to pour out mercy that's going to just reinforce you staying far away from Him. He wants to pour out mercy that's connected to you coming close. That's why all of these Haftorahs agree that turning to Him is the key to getting the blessings. They don't just come because of your ethnic heritage. They don't just come because of what family you were born into. They come because you walk with God. God's saying, you may find other ways to get blessings, but here's the way I want you to get them, my way. I want you to get my blessings that don't have sorrows associated with them, so that you can live with me and for me. Merciful to their unrighteousness, and he says, I won't remember your sins or your lawless deeds. I won't remember. You see, God says, I will remember you. I won't remember that stuff you did. Amen. Is that a good deal? Yeah. Believe me, it is. It's a wonderful deal. Now, next week, when we're together, we're going to focus on the restoration of the soul and how our souls need healing many times. And we need to be refreshed before God in order to get into that condition where we can move forward. Some people are stuck, and the soul needs to be touched so that they can move forward. And soul healing is not always instantaneous. Sometimes it can take weeks, months, even years. But I tell you this, as God starts healing your soul, you know what happens? Your soul gets better and better, stronger and stronger. You get refreshed. You get a different perspective. Hope starts being retained inside of you. Faith stays with you. It doesn't come and then go quickly. Your soul becomes stronger and stronger as you find your rest in Him. And we're going to talk about that because some breakthroughs that God has in mind cannot come without the restoration of the soul. Well, I believe this. I believe that God is touching us because He has a plan for us. He wants to bless us. He wants to use us. He wants to multiply us. He wants you and me to tell other people about the faithfulness of God. He wants you and I to be strong and to be filled with faith and chutzpah. To tell Jew and Gentile alike that the God of Israel is alive and well and faithful. He wants us to be able to answer questions like Cornelius and his household asked of Peter, what must I do to be saved? We shouldn't just shrug our shoulders. We shouldn't just give a blank answer. We shouldn't just say, well, read your Bible. No, we should tell them, what does it mean to turn to God and how to have faith? How to receive forgiveness, how to understand what Yeshua did for us. We need to know that in simple language so that we can talk to any kind of person who wants to know. We need to have an experience of God's blessing. Why? So that we can tell other people and we can be credible. If your life is a mess and God hasn't helped you make any progress, it's hard to tell somebody else who's a mess that they'll get progress too. Now, here's the good news. If your life is a mess, but it used to be much messier, then you can say, you know what? You should have seen me then. I had a friend who looked pretty good, made a lot of money, and he would be very bold to tell people about Yeshua and faith in him, and people would say, yeah, well, yeah, you could say that, but everything's going well in your life. My life is really, I got big problems. And he'd pull out this picture of himself from about 10 years earlier. And he wouldn't tell them who it was. He said, look at this guy. And they said, that guy looks like he is a loser and in a lot of trouble. He said, well, that guy is me. And God changed my life. You see, God can take you from where you are and move you to someplace better. Don't worry about some ideal. Worry about progress. Let your faith progress step by step, little by little, and your faithfulness, and everything will work out okay. Don't say to yourself, you know, I'm a mess, and so, well, gosh, I'm a mess. I guess I belong in a messianic movement. I'm a mess, and so I'm not good enough. Of course you're not good enough. Who is good enough? Only God. None of us is good enough. And so once we get to that you're not good enough, I'm not good enough, we're not good enough. He, she, or it is not good enough. We can just keep going. God is so good, He will help us, even though we're not good enough. But He wants to bless us so that we move forward up higher and we become more like Him. And that's why this weekend we read scriptures that say, turn to me, and then we'll break through. Turn to me, and you'll be healed. Turn to me, trust me, listen to my voice, obey me, and it'll go well with you. Listen and walk in my ways, and it will be well with you. Trust me.
Don't take what's mine. Take what's yours, and I'll give you more than enough. God's at work because he wants to bless us. That's the whole reason why we have this strong focus, so that God can bless us, because he wants us. He doesn't want us to be under any curses. He doesn't want us to experience anything that robs us of the blessing. We're getting ready to celebrate Passover, and we are to be blessed every day. You get rid of the chametz in your life and in your house, and the blessings of freedom come to you. Well, let's close with prayer. Let's thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord, you're the God of freedom. Thank you, Yeshua. You came and gave us liberty for the sake of liberty. You've called us into freedom. You've called us into new life in your Son. Thank you, God, that you are not only the God of blessing, you're the God of hope. And you give us hope for what we don't currently have. Lord, I pray that all those who are struggling to get a breakthrough would be filled up with hope. They'd be filled up with faith. They'd be filled up with courage. And they would see your mighty hand is working on their behalf. Pour out that gift of repentance that leads to life. Pour out faith and courage that they would hear your voice and follow you, walk in your ways, and that all would go well with them. I pray in Yeshua's name. Amen. Well, let's close with Aaron's blessing. Would you please rise? You don't have to stand by yourself. If you are by yourself, move and stand with someone else. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'yichunecha yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you even from the devourer. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you and give you what you don't deserve. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his shalom, his peace, his abundance, his well-being. In the name of Yeshua. Amen. 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 Shabbat shalom. Amen.